You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. What advice do you have for today's high school graduates, especially minority students? Our guest in this half hour will be giving the commencement address at Marshall High School in Milwaukee next month. And he wrote about it in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He is James Causey. He is an editorial writer and columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and his recent piece is titled The Pursuit of a Dream. He's going to be the keynote speaker for the Morse Marshall High School commencement on June the 10th, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks very much for joining us. So, well, this is the high school you attended, right?
Yes, it is. I was a class of 1987, so it's going to be kind of strange walking those hallways again and trying to soak up what it's like to be in high school all over again.
Yeah, and you want to inspire the students there, the graduates there, to pursue their dreams. Why did you decide on that as your theme?
Well, I was named Alum of the Year. And usually the Alum of the Year is the person who gives the commencement address. So when they gave me a call, I was very happy and excited. But when they told me I had to give a commencement speech, I was like, oh, whoa, what do I tell these kids? It's tough out there. You know, I write about how tough it is every day. So they told me, or the alumni board said, basically we want you to leave them with something that that inspires them and their families, because a lot of these kids will be going off to school, college and things like that. And they wanted me to really tell them something that, you know, I was a local boy who made good, to try to give them a blueprint to do the same thing. So I was thinking about that a little bit, and I went through Google and tried to listen to all the great speeches that were made. Then I said, no, that's not really what I want to do. I think what I want to do is tell them, you know, sort of what I went through. And then I came across this, I remember this movie scene from The Pursuit of Happiness when Will Smith was talking to his son on the playground. His son.
Hey, James, wait a second. You don't even have to describe it. Let's take a listen to it. We actually pulled it, so at least part of it.
Okay.
Let's take a listen.
You got a dream. You got to protect it. People can't do something themselves. They want to tell you you can't do it. You want something, go get it. Period.
So how did that influence the message of your speech?
Well, yeah, the very beginning part of that clip, his son is shooting baskets on the basketball court. He's probably like 6 or 7 years old. And his son says, I'm going to make it to the pros one day. And Will Smith says, Will Smith's character says, no, that probably won't happen. And so his son sort of like, you know, slumps over in the corner. And Will looks at him, and this is a reflective moment. He said, well, you know, if you really want to pursue something, you shouldn't let anybody, not even me, take you away from your dream. You need to pursue it, but you need to work hard at it. And it's like a teachable moment. At the same time, you know, it's bigger than basketball. This is about everything that you do in life. And so I was like, man, that's really what the kids need to hear. And so they're going to play that clip to start off the commencement, when I come up to talk, and then I'm just going to go into it after that and just tell people how some people tried to, you know, take me away from my dream of becoming a professional writer, and I wouldn't let them do it. And I just want to sort of talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, talk though a little bit about whether, you know, in 2013, if hard work is enough, is hard work going to get you those stars that you are reaching for?
Well, honestly, I don't think hard work has ever been enough, no matter if it's the 20th century, 19th century, 18th century, or even before that. I think what it comes down to is knowing how to network, knowing how to sell yourself, and having and building those connections with mentors and people who could show you the way and knock down some of the walls and eliminate some of the traps, especially if you're a person of color, I think it's a lot more difficult. I mean, you could pull up any study that shows that, you know, you could have a white man and a black man applying for the same job with the same credentials, and a white man could have a criminal background, and he would still get the job over a black man who has never been in trouble with the law. I mean, you know, there's a thing called race that we hate to talk about, and it shouldn't be a crutch, but it's also a reality as well. In a city where I live, in Milwaukee, where, you know, some estimates say up to 60% of black men are out of work, you know, that's a harsh reality. So I'm not going to go up there and tell these kids that you could just do it, and that's all you have to do is work hard, because they know and they see that, and they have plenty of examples of people who worked hard and still didn't get what they needed to get because of various other things. So that's the hard part. That's what makes women speak so hard. You know, you can say all the right things, and you can say just work hard and you'll get what you want, you'll achieve your goal, but it's a lot more than that. It's a whole lot more than that.
Yeah, so I know you don't want to give your whole speech away, but how are you going to, you know, inspire these graduates when they are facing such a harsh reality?
Well, one thing I'm going to tell them, I can't tell you this, is that, you know, high school is just the beginning. And a lot of young people, especially people of color, go on to college. The problem is they don't finish. A lot drop out around their sophomore year. And that happens for a number of reasons that we really need to take a hard look at. One is that, you know, like for me, I was a first-generation college student. And one thing that helped me with the Educational Opportunity Program at Marquette University, which was like a guide for me. It was a program with mentors and people who have gone through the system, the college educational system, who helped me, like, through tutoring and when I just needed someone to talk to, because even though my parents both worked hard and everything, you know, it was some hurdles that they just didn't know how to cross. It was some things that they couldn't really talk to me about, like if I was having problems in my theology class at Marquette and I didn't think the professor liked me, no matter what I wrote, you know, I couldn't really turn to my parents for something like that. I really had to turn to someone who's been through that experience. So I think on a lot of college campuses, that's forgotten now. They don't realize that a lot of black students in particular, this is their first time in an environment like this, and they don't have anybody that they could turn to. So that's key for me. You know, we in Milwaukee, we have a large number of people who started college who just never finished, and that goes across all races. So we got to get people to the finish line. And wait till you get there. It's still hard because, you know, I know of a lot of young people, and I've written about them, who have degrees in business administration and degrees in psychology and all these other degrees who can't find work. So what they end up doing is working in a bar or doing something else that they really didn't go to school for. So, and they have the student loans and all this other stuff, and it creates all those other problems. So it's going to be one of those delicate kind of speeches. It's going to be unique in its own way. But I want to tell people, the young people, that I understand what they're about to go through, because I've been through it myself. And, you know, what worked for me may not work for them, but there are some things that they could do to make that journey a little bit easier. And one thing is not to let anybody get in the way of their dreams.
We are talking with James Causey. He is a editorial writer, columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We noticed his recent piece, which was titled The Pursuit of a Dream, which was about what he wants to tell the graduating students of the Morse Marshall High School in Milwaukee on commencement day, June 10th, when he will be the keynote speaker. And we wonder what advice you might have for high school graduates today, especially minority students. What's the best advice to pursue your dreams that someone has given you? Or how might you inspire young people today when there are so many harsh realities out there, how they might be able to achieve their dream. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. I hope you join us tomorrow at this time. We'll be talking with the author of Homer Simpson Ponders Politics. That's right. We will talk about the connections between political theories and today's media culture. That's tomorrow at this time. Right now, we are talking with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel columnist James Causey about what he's planning on saying when he is the keynote speaker at the Morse Marshall High School commencement on June the 10th. He was the alum of the year, so now he's the commencement speaker, and he's going to try to inspire the graduates, tell them to never give up on their dreams and to don't let anybody get in the way of your dreams. And we have some callers, so let's go to Jamie in Waupun first. Hi, Jamie.
Hello. I want to say that it's a great idea what you're going to do for the speech. I think that's a great way to lay it out. The only thing that I would think that you might want to add is to be able to add some sort of like pinpoint like vision, to be able to tell them that they have to actually, when they're going to college, to actually think about what they're going to be doing with their life, what type of career they're going to do when they actually get outside, because I think that helps them get along in those late nights when they're studying and studying and studying, and they're like, what is the point of this? And they actually see, you know, the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm. You think that's important, James, to have a career in mind?
That's very important. Actually, that's one of the things that I intend on doing. I remember my sophomore year at Marquette, and I was studying, it was a theory class or something, that a psych class I had. And I was wondering, why is this even important? And I remember I came across this teacher on campus who I was just going to go to talk to about, you know, transferring into his psych class. And he told me that the key was trying to relate how the theories that they teach at Marquette relates to my life, relates to people I love, and relates to me and society as a whole. And after he said that, I got it. I started to understand that it's not about everything that's in the books. It's how you could take that information and become a better person, a more productive person in society. And it just, after I learned that, which was like, to me, the key to education, it like propelled me, and I never had any problems after that. I don't think I got below a 3.6 after that. So,
wow, congratulations.
Yeah,
talk a little bit, though, about, you mentioned that you did run into some resistance to your dream of becoming a professional writer. What were people discouraging you from pursuing your dream?
Well, you know, I grew up in the Central City, so it was always some negative influences there. You know, it was parties that I could have went to where I knew that drugs and alcohol would be there. It was, temptation there from, other people to steer me into the wrong direction. But, you know, I had parents who pretty much, they raised me to be a man, and they had a hands-off approach. They wanted me to learn from my own mistakes. But they instilled in me the things that I needed to go forward and not backwards. And my goal was never to let them down. But I remember in school, taking some classes, and I was going up against some really good students who, you know, had big dreams of working for the New York Times and all this kind of stuff. And they sort of looked at me like, you know, you'll never work in this business, you know. So it's kind of funny. I kind of kid myself now. I said about 10 buyouts later, I'm still around with a Neiman Harvard Fellowship under my belt. So I think I'm doing pretty good.
Well, I do too. Carl in Madison is with us now. Hello, Carl.
Yes, hello. It's a very interesting conversation. And I would just say, as a white middle-class man, I think that some of the issues that the speaker is talking about, that students of color face heading out into society, from racial profiling to the issues with jobs that he described, A lot of white America doesn't know that. They hear it, but they don't really know it. They don't really feel it. I had to learn in my 40s in graduate classes some of the things that some of these students are learning from the hard knocks of day-to-day. And I think that as much as that's a disadvantage and as much as that could feel like a, you know, a terrible burden to carry, there's a second sight that comes from that in looking at America from the outside in and having a perspective that really sees the rifts and cracks in our democracy. And I think that as difficult that is and as difficult a burden as that is to carry, it's also a very powerful form of vision because you can see more clearly what we're up against, who we really are as a nation, because you face the oppression and the challenges that many people who are not from a background which has been oppressed, they're just blind to. I think it was James Baldwin that said, you know, if we really taught African-American history as part of our history in a real and deep way, we'd be liberating not only African-Americans, we'd be liberating all of those white children, some of them going on 40, who have no idea of who they are, because when you're forced to lie about some aspect of your history, ultimately you lie about all of it. So I think that second sight, that depth of vision that comes from the oppression one faces can be turned in the right direction to be a powerful source of strength.
What about that, James?
That's very powerful. I agree with you 100%. You know, this is the thing. I don't know if you heard the controversy behind Barack Obama's speech when he spoke at this historically black college. A lot of people from the African-American community felt that he was talking down to the students. I believe it was Morehouse. I was talking down to them. And some people felt that it was just not the right tone. Like he was saying, do you realize Martin Luther King, you know, brought up Martin Luther King and talked about his sacrifices. And people were like, well, yeah, we all know that. So I don't want to give a speech to these kids in particular that they kind of already know. I don't want to have to tell them that, you know, it's tough out there. So, you know, you just got to do the best you can. I don't want to give that speech. I kind of want to give them a speech to say, you know, it's tough out there. This is what you have to do to achieve success. And also, no matter all, you're going to be tempted with so many things that you would never believe. But what are you going to do to get past those negatives to still do positive? Because it's so easy to do wrong. It's so easy to go to the party instead of studying. It's so easy to take that drink when you know you're underage. It's easy to get a fake ID and go into a bar than it is to say, no, I'm going to pass on that. Peer pressure is something. And I think a lot of these kids, in order to try to fit in when they do go off to college, they're going to do things that they wouldn't probably normally do today, right now, as high school students. But I think it's going to be that extra pressure to try to fit in and show that you belong. And that's the one thing that that I face. You know, when I was on campus at Marquette, especially my freshman year, and I was, you know, around a lot of kids not like me, kids who came from money and kids who, had parents who had, this one kid, he had a very nice car his freshman year and things like that. And I was like, man, my parents just had one car. You try so hard to try to fit in with this group because you don't want anyone to look at you like, why are you here? How did you get here? You know, you work just as hard, or maybe even harder than them to get there. But so you try to fit in so hard that you sometimes step outside your comfort zone and you do things that you wouldn't normally do just so they don't look at you in a negative way. And that's one of those kind of things that you can't sort of be taught. You just kind of sort of experience it. But I want to tell kids that these are the kind of things that happen. And it's, I sort of got caught up in that a little bit myself.
We'll take another call from KJ in Milwaukee. Hi, KJ.
Hi, how you doing? I'm familiar with Mr. Causey's writing because I'm from Milwaukee. But I'm wondering, is there is there optimistic? He always seems to talk about, you know, the obstacles that have to be overcome, the difficulties, the temptations that are out there, and certainly the obstacles and hoops that people had to go through were far greater in the 60s and 70s and 80s than they are now. There's a part of the message that needs to be inspiring. There's a part of it that says, you know, your dreams, you have to go after them. I'm sure the editorial board of the Journal didn't come bite James Causey on the leg and then say, here we are, come on in. He had to go through the harder work to get there. And I'm wondering, is there an equal amount in your speech that's going to be inspiring as well as, you know, challenging, but inspiring to say you can overcome these obstacles, you can do well, you can, you know, get to your dreams, but you're going to have to chase them. You have to go after them. They won't come to you.
It sounded like you were kind of saying that, James.
I think that's what my speech is about. I mean, it's going to be inspiring as, and it will also be challenging, and not only challenging to the young people out there, but I'm also going to challenge the parents. I'm going to challenge the uncles, the aunts, the cousins, the little brothers, the older brothers, the sisters, to also be there and be there to help these young people get through their journey and accomplish their goals and reach their dreams. So, yeah, this isn't just about the students, because if, you know, I think a lot of speeches turn into, you did it, you made it, you accomplished all these things. You can't do anything without the help of others. So there's going to be a moment there, and, you know, I'm sort of giving a little bit away, but I'm going to tell the young people who are graduating to stand up and give everybody who are there to support them and those who help pave the way for them a hand. Because it's no way that they could accomplish all these things by themselves. So, yeah, you know, I agree with you.
Did the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel bite you in the leg? <That's cute. laughs>
No, but I think I paid my dues. I mean, I've been at the paper since I was 14 years old. I started out as a high school intern, so... And I'm 43 now. I paid a lot of dues to get where I am.
Oh, I didn't know you interned that young. Wow.
Yeah.
Stephen Lyons sends this email. We not only need the youth to pursue their dreams, we need them to be considerate of others in doing so. Too many people now pursue their dreams at the expense of others. What about that?
Well, yeah. But who are these kids learning that from? I mean, that's the question. I mean, this is not just the kids doing this. This is what they see. I mean, if you look at television today, you look at everything that's put in place in front of these young people, it's all about me. It's a me mentality. We live in a microwave society where everything revolves around having things quickly, fast, not really putting in a lot of work, but trying to become overnight successes. You know, that 15 minutes of fame has now become like 3 minutes of fame. You could give a crazy speech about saving somebody's life, and next thing you know, you're an internet sensation and all the media attention is on you. But what happens after that? What do you do after that? So, the way I view it is really simple. These young people are going through a lot. You know, some of the things that they're already stars. To get to the point where they're about to walk across the stage and get their high school diploma, that already makes them a star. And I think in some neighborhoods that we live in, and a lot of people may not notice, but these kids are challenged every day, even before they leave their house. So they're already winners. They're already fighters. The one thing I want to teach them now, you fought at this amateur level. Now I'm going to make you a pro. This is what you have to do now to fight on this other level. And by doing that fight, that doesn't mean you have to step over people. Sometimes you may have to, but that doesn't mean that that's the only way to win this battle, by stepping over people. So, I mean, it's going to be one of those kind of speeches. But, again, I only have 10 minutes. And the first 2 minutes are going to be taken up by the video on Will Smith. So in 8 minutes, I'm going to try to accomplish a lot.
Well, good luck. And thanks very much for previewing it with us.
Thank you.
James Causey, editorial writer, columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. His recent piece, The Pursuit of a Dream, is linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. He's going to be the keynote speaker for the Morse Marshall High School commencement coming up on June 10th. So, Congratulations to him, and congratulations to the graduates of 2013. Thanks very much to Justin Williams and to Bill Martins for producing this program. Thanks to Christy Taylor for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come, and I hope you join us tomorrow at this time when we talk with one of the co-authors of the new book, Homer Simpson Ponders Politics. We'll talk about the connection between politics and today's media culture tomorrow at this time. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.